Evo, imamo sada priliku da malo neke stvari još raščistimo, da čujemo. Imamo priliku koju je rijetko imamo, da malo iz jedne veće perspektive sagledamo i naše probleme i probleme Židova u Europi. I gospođa Karmela Belinki će vrlo rado odgovoriti i objasniti na vaša pitanja, a ja ću vrlo rado sa mojim šepavim engleskom posredovati. Evo, ja, je li nekoga nešto posebno interesira, I will now tell in English, we have opportunity to hear some deeply approach to the problems you hear in the presentation of Mrs. Carmela Belinki about the position is Jews, about the problem in Europe, and which is also our problem. And please put your question. I will try to translate it. Who is asking? Please sit.
What I would like to say is certainly in England, where I come from, the problem is not that anti-Semitism, what we fear, it's a xenophobia. In the economic situation, the crisis that we go through now, we have many immigrants, yeah? Many immigrants from Europe. And there is an
under... You are not Europe.
We're Europe, of course, yeah. But the English consider themselves outside East Europe and Central Europe. The Jewish problem, as it will, I hope it won't come, will become, if it does, part and parcel of that xenophobic uprising against the large number of the immigrants. Now, I'm for it, for the immigrants, because they have made huge contribution to the British economy. But it is a fact of life.
Thank you.
What I want to say. What do you think about that?
I will only translate here your question, your statement. Gospođa je iz...
Well, first of all, I'll forget.
Okay.
The British society is a very special one, because of the British Commonwealth, which is quite a unique construction as such. And it left Britain, Mother Britain, with certain very difficult problems, and that is that the citizens of the Commonwealth have no great difficulties in coming to Britain. And it also meant that there's a heavy concentration of certain immigrant groups to certain neighborhoods. And that, of course, means tension between different groups. Xenophobia is something that we should all fight against in all its forms, because wherever there is xenophobia, in the end it will also reflect on us Jews. And that's why Jewish international organizations are very deeply concerned about xenophobia and are also actively working with other organizations, non-Jewish organizations, to combat xenophobia wherever it exists. And I can tell you that there is no part of the world and no part of Europe where it doesn't exist.
Sada ću ja prvo pitanje od gospođe iz Engleske, da oni imaju veliki problem sa imigrantskim grupama. Misli se ovaj puta na Židove i misli se, ja mislim, na istočnoevropske Židove koji su migrirali u velikom broju. I i pojavljuje se ksenofobija. Dakle, to je zapravo protiv svih stranaca, ako prevedemo taj termin, koji ovaj puta obuhvaća i Židove. A sada je gospođa Belinki objasnila da je Engleska jedno posebno društvo upravo zbog toga što je bila jedna velika kolonijalna sila koja ima sve moguće vrste imigranata iz bivših kolonijalnih zemalja koje su sada koncentrirani u, mi znamo šta se događalo, i u predgrađima Londona i koje prave velike probleme, i da zapravo mi, i to se reflektira ne samo na njih, svi ti problemi i na Židove. Prema tome, mi zapravo trebamo se na svim nivoima i svuda u svijetu, nijedna zemlja nije pošteđena ksenofobije, jednog odnosa prema stranima koji dolaze. Mi se na svim nivoima moramo boriti protiv te pojave, protiv svih, jer se ona tiče i nas. Ja mislim da sam prevela. Next, please. Yes. This is Mr. Paolo Jena from Italy. Here it is.
I think we are... she has brought up a real problem, because I believe that there is a difference between xenophobia that we are all against. There is a difference between xenophobia and the impossibility of accommodating in an already crowded country an alien culture. This is a problem that we have, a real problem that we have in Italy now. And it is a problem that is confronting the Jews. Because Italy, although we have passed in 40 years from the highest to the lowest birth rate in the world, I think, or certainly in Europe, is still an overcrowded country. If you take into account the area covered by mountains, resulting livable area is quite small, and we still have an overpopulated country, which reflects on the deterioration of our territory. You go to Italy now, and you go to northern the Po Valley. The Po Valley is practically one huge city. There's no countryside anymore. And now we have these waves of immigrants that come into a country that has, according to UNESCO, it has the 45% of all the world's artistic heritage. A country which should be put under a glass urn and preserved for future generation, but we cannot do that. The aging population requires new unskilled labor that our society does not produce anymore because of the excessively social laws that we have, absurd pensions, people going pensioners 40 years old and practically free university access. This creates a problem. I'm coming to a conclusion. The last elections, the last political elections in Italy, have brought to power the right for the first time in 60 years. The right, the political right in Italy, includes the old neo-fascist party, which is not neo-fascist anymore. At least this is what they declare. They have severed all the ties with fascism. And they seek the friendship of Jews. The president of the ex-neo-fascist went to Auschwitz. He kneeled in front of the memorial, declared that the Italian racial laws of 1938-1939 were abominous, went to Jerusalem. He is staunchly in favor and supports the Israel. So what are the Jews going to do?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, we must go on. It is a specific situation in Italy.
Not only.
I must translate this because I will forget. Posebna situacija u Italiji gdje je uglavnom sada velika koncentracija ljudi je overpopulacija u onim područjima koja su dostupna. Zapravo nestalo je slobodne prirode i ljudi su koncentrirani u velikim aglomeracijama, što isto stvara probleme. I jedan veliki dolazak imigranata koji su čak i potrebni u industriji za neke poslove koje kao i kod nas neće raditi domaći ljudi. I sad je pitanje unosa i strane kulture, ne samo imigranata, nego i utjecaja strane kulture. I ono što je najnovija situacija, da jesu ovi izbori i da imamo jedan pokret u desno. Imamo neofašiste koji zapravo nisu neofašisti. Oni se tako deklariraju. I što je posebno interesantno, da su oni se deklariraju kao prijatelji Židova, dolaze u zajednicu, odlaze u Izrael. I sada gospodin Jena pita što sada zapravo Židovi trebaju tamo, kako se ponašati. Please, Belinki.
Your situation in Italy is certainly a very specific one, but Spain and all the Western countries at the Mediterranean or even Western, next to Western Africa, are facing the same problem with increasing illegal migration from Africa. And the official policy of all international organizations is now that the societies which are sending people should be helped on location and to try to at least somehow keep illegal migration as low as possible. I don't think that it can be hindered altogether, because there will always be opportunists who want to earn money by helping people at a very high cost to migrate. Africa is facing very big problems for many reasons, and the European countries are actually part of that problem, have become part of that problem, not because they are unwilling to help Africa, but because there are so many illegal migrants coming to these countries from Africa. And you're absolutely right that there is a limit in all countries, and that's why migration, I think there is a kind of unity about the policies that should be followed, although nobody can actually utter them in public, that there must be ways for recipient countries to hinder illegal migration, or at least to have certain numbers that they can accept, because otherwise we are facing anarchy and chaos also in countries which are very well developed and are ex-colonial countries like Italy and France and many other European countries, the United Kingdom, of course, Belgium and whatnot, Germany.
Gospođa Belinki kaže da je vrlo dobro upoznata sa problemom Italije, ali taj problem se odnosi i na Španjolsku i mnoge mediteranske zemlje. Uzrok je zapravo u Sjevernoj Africi. Sjevernoj Africi koja je, kao što znamo, kolonijalnom politikom devastirana i u kakvoj situaciji. Tu su veliki pritisak, veliki valovi ilegalne migracije koji se vrlo teško mogu kontrolirati. Jedna od politika međunarodnih organizacija je da pomogne Africi lokalno, da oni sami podignu svoj standard, institucije i da možda se na taj način smanji taj veliki pritisak ne samo na cijelu Europu. I smatra se da je potrebno, makar još to nije definirano i ne smije se zapravo i glasno reći, jer mi deklariramo slobodno tržište, radne snage i tako dalje, to je moj komentar, ali treba jednu zajedničku politiku da se prema migrantima, da se njihov broj svede na jednu razumnu mjeru, u toj mjeri koja ne bi narušila, ne bi dovela do kaosa i anarhije u evropskim demokratskim društvima. A jesam li? Ko je sljedeći? Evo, Sanja, oprosti.
Hvala. U samom početku ove ekonomske krize koja je započela, dakle, prije nepunih možda dva tjedna ili tjedan dana ovako evidentno, je bilo na radiju, Hrvatskom radiju, jedan naš ekonomski stručnjak koji je govorio kako je do krize došlo i što možemo očekivati i otvoreno, radio bi otvoren za slušalce. Ja moram reći da sam bila zapanjena, obzirom da se radilo o samom početku, da su svi gotovo do jednoga koji su se javljali govorili o židovsko-masonskoj uroti zahvaljujući kojoj se kriza desila. Oni nisu to izgovorili, ali su rekli sva imena koja su naveli, razni Šoroši, Kissingeri, dakle sve su bila evidentno židovska imena i ja sam se zapravo pitala da li je to početak jednog vala antisemitizma koji bi mogao biti svjetskih razmjera. Ja zapravo pitam da li će se to, kako su vaša predviđanja, da li se ovako nešto može očekivati?
I will now translate. Our Sanja Tabaković, she is our vice president and take care of everything in our community. And she asks you, we have here one crisis, economical crisis, which come from United States and so on. And here is also one in our radio station. It is one discussion about this situation. And then was possibility that somebody ask question and say their opinion. And the most of opinion was that the crisis is done because of Jewish Mason, development, and they even named Soros, I don't know who. There is such, in fact, this is my approach, grass antisemitism, and she asked, what do you think, and if this can be developed in something more?
I've heard about it from many other countries as well, that in spite of all these official speeches and covenants against antisemitism, in the countries which have been suppressed for a very long time and haven't been able to have an official negation of antisemitism, that now during this new economic crisis these old clichés are coming up again, and whether something can be done about them. As I said, that old ways die hard. And I'm not a visionary, and I can't say what will come out of this international financial crisis. There are two things that speak against a major anti-Semitic outburst in Europe, I'm saying, and particularly in this part of Europe. There aren't enough Jews. Not that it's ever stopped anybody. But on the other hand, there are not any more a visible sort of upper class, upper middle class Jewish group, the same way as there used to be in Europe before the Second World War. So I don't believe that there'll be major anti-Semitic outbursts, but I do believe that these grassroots outbursts will grow. There'll be more and more of them, and that but the governments of these countries must be pressured to take a strong stand against them. That's all I can say. I'm not a visionary. I can't say what will happen in the future. I can only say that the situation is different also as concerns the economic crisis in Europe than it was in the 1920s, the 1930s. But who knows? I mean, who knows? We don't know. Human beings are very strange in that way, that there can be very strange developments in a very short time, which we really don't know what to do about. I'm still being rather optimistic. But then, of course, I was told by several ladies and gentlemen here in the audience that it might be futile to be so optimistic. But I am a very stubborn woman, and I continue to be optimistic. But then, of course, I don't know. None of us know.
Ja ću sada prevesti mišljenje, a to je da to nije samo ovdje, da se to događa i u drugim zemljama. I gospođa Belinki misli da je sada premalo Židova da bi to izazvalo jedan veći val antisemitizma ili neke druge mjere i da bi trebale vlade biti vrlo odlučne da to suzbijaju, da vjeruje da će ekonomska kriza ipak se smanjiti i s time možda i ta pojava, ona je u prirodi uvijek optimista, ali ne može, nije prorok i ne može predvidjeti. Ja bi dodala još nešto. I will add something that I think that is very convenient to all government to move the question of their guilty and their role in this economic crisis to another side, and this is always Jews. Moje mišljenje je da jako odgovara vladama koje su isto sudjelovale u kreiranju ove krize, da se skreće na periferna pitanja, a jedno uvijek pitanje smo i mi Židovi jako pogodni za u svaki slučaj da se negdje nešto skrene.
Let me add something. This time they can't blame Israel for it. And that makes quite a difference. Because this time the basis is in the United States, and as much as they want to blame the Jews in the United States, it's not possible because there is a higher figure which you can blame now, and that's President Bush, for at least a couple of weeks. And afterwards, after that, whoever comes will try to shift the blame on President Bush again, because he is a has-been, and that's very easy. He isn't any more answerable to anyone. That's one of the laws of politics, I'm afraid. But then I do consider the threat of anti-Semitism a very serious one, particularly under present circumstances. And it would be in our favor if the financial crisis be solved as soon as possible. But we have to take into account that we don't live in the 1920s when there was no radio, no TV, no computers. The situation, the media situation has changed, and people's awareness has changed too with it. Not always to the better, and often to the worse, but still, the times have changed, we can only hope that all this will end in a favorable way, because this time the financial crisis is a very global one, more global than it ever was. Not a financial expert, but we are all touched by it, and it has to be solved within the next few weeks, or it'll linger on for years, and that will be devastating for the whole civilized world, and lead to who knows what. We can't even imagine that.
Ja bih još prvo, imamo još tu Ana, gospođu iz Slovačke, ali ja bih sada prevela ovo mišljenje. Dakle, gospođa Belinki je uzela kao primjer Ameriku i gdje se sve više prezident Bush krivi za situaciju i krizu, i on je sad vrlo povoljna osoba koja će podnijeti te sve kritike, i sada svaki onaj koji naslijedi morat će malo adaptirati svoju politiku. Ova globalna kriza koja je, ona bi se trebala okončati u nekoliko tjedana ili će imati tako dalekosežne posljedice za godine, za cijelu godinama, za cijelu civilizaciju. Ono što je još gospođa Belinki rekla, da ekonomska kriza 30. godine, 20. neke godine, koja je bila velika, ne može se usporediti sa ovom potpuno krizom, jer to su bile druge prilike su danas, i ono što je osobito važno, danas postoji mnogo brža komunikacija, veća komunikacija, vijesti se brže šire, tu su mediji svi mogući koji mogu imati i negativnu ulogu, ali ipak doprinose tome da se istina brže čuje i brže vidi, i misli da ipak ako ova kriza bude brzo okončana, da neće biti ni za Židove tako velike posljedice.
In spite of that you declare not to being a visionary, I dare to put this question. How do you see the future of Jewish diaspora, mainly in Europe, from the point of view not only of anti-Semitism and this sort of feeling, but also from the point of view of assimilation, and further, whether you see some difference between what you call New Europe and Old Europe, and between Europe and USA. Thank you.
Ja ću samo prevesti da znate pitanje ovako. To je gospođa iz Slovačke, iz Košica, jel? Košice su poznati primjer jednog strašnog holokausta, tamo postoji muzej, jedna mala židovska zajednica. I ovdje je postavljeno pitanje šta je sa židovskom dijasporom. Šta se događa sa židovskom dijasporom i kakva je razlika, kako je rekla gospođa Belinki, između nove i stare Europe, između ovih malih zajednica koje su još ostale, i koji je uloga asimilacije, koja je sigurno tokom vremena, mladi, tu su mješoviti brakovi, tu je asimilacija. Evo, gospođa Belinki ima primjer da odgovori.
It's a very good question to ask. And as I said before, I'm not a visionary, but I can see certain trends which I'm very afraid of. First of all, I can see a historical trend which has gone on in Judaism, in Jewish history, since the ghetto doors were opened, that liberal wings or liberal Jews by and by assimilate to the extent that they no longer are Jews until reminded in a negative way of their existence as Jews, as their Jewish heritage. And I'm not against the Lubavitcher movement, but I can see that it's not only a favorable thing in Europe, which has a long tradition of more liberal and integrated Judaism. On the other hand, this very well-integrated Judaism leads more easily to assimilation than the ultra-Orthodox wings. And Jewish history, unfortunately, has shown that those who have survived best are those who are strong believers and who are, in a very stubborn way, sticking to basic Judaism with all its trimmings. And but on the other hand, I can also see how life has changed, how Europe has changed, and has a Jewish history has come into a new phase with the birth of the State of Israel. We mustn't forget that today there is a big Jewish entity in the world, the biggest Jewish entity, both historically and also religiously, and that's the State of Israel. And as long as we have the State of Israel, I cannot fathom that there would be a Holocaust of the same kind as happened before the war. And simultaneously, I cannot fathom either that the newborn enthusiasm in many places all over Europe for Judaism, for Jewishness, for what I would call in Yiddish, Yiddishkeit, is also growing, that the second and third generation after the Holocaust want to know more. They want to know more. There are those who are fading away. On the other hand, there are those who should be fed with more information and more education. But what I'm afraid of is that if this very ultra-Orthodox wing will gain momentum, more momentum in Europe, it'll be, unfortunately, as much as I would like all Jews to be united, it will be a kind of hindrance, because it also hinders people from integrating into majority society. But as I said, I'm not a visionary, and we Jews are not separated from the development of the rest of the world. And our future also depends on what will happen in the world in the future. And I'm lucky to say that I have reached the age when I can only think of the next generations and hope that the changes will not be too abrupt during my lifetime.
Gospođa Belinki kaže da je to veliki inače problem i da iako nije oduševljena zapravo na neki način sa Lubavićima koji se pojavljuju u Evropi, ona smatra da ipak oni imaju jednu ulogu u tome da na neki način vraćaju religiji i da zapravo postoji manja opasnost za asimilaciju koja je normalna. Sa druge strane smatra da ipak ultraortodoksi imaju i negativni utjecaj jer zapravo sprečavaju odvajaju, to je zapravo moja riječ, getoizacija je to, židovske populacije odvajaju od glavnih tokova, a mi smo ipak Evropljani, moramo biti uključeni. Naročito je značajno da sada nove generacije koje dolaze su zainteresirane za judaizam, žele učiti, žele biti i vraćaju se religiji i zbog toga, kaže Karmela, mojim godinama, ja se slažem, mi vjerujemo u budućnost i u buduće generacije.
It was this gentleman here.
Gentleman here is Dr. Lam, please.
Kako ste, hrvatski ili engleski?
Ma kako god hoćete, možete engleski, meni će biti lakše, ali ne dugo, ne dugo. Pardon.
Speak at all?
No, thank you.
There are three major issues. Snježe, what you said is pointed now. What you can do immediately. You can call a group of people to consider the question of anti-Semitism now. You have just called the attention. It cannot be solved by the government, because the government will do nothing until some girl of 25 is not killed. So if you want to prevent something, then what you have, you are a vice president, call a group of us, you can include me, to consider whether there is risk and what can be done about it. You don't have to wait for events or not to be, there is such a call which is called prevention. That term does exist. So that's what you can do immediately. And I think it would be wise to do. The second issue, and it would be useful for communities, Jewish communities around Europe, if they would receive a report that there was looking at the issue and that this was, it would, might stimulate people in others where it is needed or not. To be afraid and not to do anything is not allowed. That's not permissible. One has to work on prevention. Second is the issues of Jews in Europe and Holocaust are two separate issues. Holocaust happened to Jews, but Holocaust is a crime against humanity, not against Jews. The issue of Europe, the central issue of Europe in which it happened was because Europe, as Europe, was efficient in doing evil to have a system of evil and inefficient in goodness. That's the characteristic of why it happened. And Europe started to exist, all of Europe, again now, at the same time as Croatia, to see what it will do with itself after America and Soviet Union, the Cold War ended. We had the Righteous Among Nations, this magnificent, the greatest movement of goodness ever that happened in the Christians, that Europe didn't have a single meeting about that European meeting and what it meant for Europe. It is today treated as an Israeli event, Jewish event, and it was a European movement. And it's a key for development of Europe. Because those fascinating people not only refused to be evil, but they refused to be inefficient in goodness. They said, if Europe is incapable of being good, I will be. And that's a magnificent movement, because it is not only that Hitler did initiate the Holocaust, but that Europe did not defend it. And that's a major thing to know. Finally, this I think is a major. So we must know now that Europe, it's not just a question of 6 million Jews killed. Jews were a European nation until the Holocaust. Now they are not a European nation. 6 million Jews were killed. We have different communities. We have individuals. They are no longer a European nation, and Europe didn't have a single meeting. What does it mean when a nation that existed no longer exists and is not recognized as a European nation? You can have be by nationality or religion, faith, whatever. You can be as individual Jew. You can meet in a community, but nation no longer exists. It speaks, that's why you speak of Israel, yes. Major question. And finally, what I mentioned, Holocaust happened to Jews, and we have seen it, and we can speak of the memories, and there is a meeting of the child survivors, but Holocaust can happen to anybody, and it will happen, because there has been, I'm a doctor, there has been never a problem that came to exist and then disappeared. You cannot have a plague because it happened among some people, that it's a problem of those people. It's a global problem. And this is what I did in this, which I will not elaborate, but this is a major event. It's a question of science. Holocaust cannot be treated, and in Yad Vashem, it cannot be treated as a Jewish history, it cannot be treated as a Jewish tragedy, it cannot be treated as Jewish novels or Jewish. It's a problem of humanity, it's a problem of knowledge. And that's how it has to be treated.
Zahvaljujem doktoru Langu, koji je uvijek vjesnik i borac za humanost i za akciju. I to je poanta njegovog govora, da mi smo svi imali holokaust, svi smo to prošli i to nije samo naš problem, imamo Yad Vashem, memorije, sastanke, spomenike, ali to nije naš problem. Problem je Europe i humanosti u Europi i u tome da je Europa bila evil, jeli zlo, i da je nije pokazala dobro, da nije se zauzela za Židove i da mi danas taj problem može se opet dogoditi ne samo nama, nego i drugima, i da postoje, da mi moramo, nije dovoljno da se sastajemo, mi moramo se uključiti u druge organizacije, raditi na tome, na globalu, da se takve stvari ne ponove i da Europa postane humanija. Ja mislim da sam sukus rekla. Please.
Well, I'm not going into a debate about different theories of the Holocaust, but I represent a school of historians who base their view on Holocaust on the fact that the Jews were not a nation before the Second World War. They were not recognized as a nation because a nation usually, not in the Jewish case, has a country, a piece of land of its own. I was brought up in a very Zionist home with the aim, which wasn't always realistic, that one day the Jewish people will have a homeland. And I have never quite given up that view, which I was brought up with. And if the Jews had, for some very strange reason, which wasn't historically even possible or politically, had a place where to go, a recognized place for the Jews, it wouldn't have been quite so easy for the assassins to go through with their evil constructions. Because if you have where to go, it's much easier to flee. I don't think that the Holocaust could totally have been for the Jews, could totally have been hindered. But I do think that the range of it could have been much smaller if the Jews at that time had a place to go. And I maintain that I'm not the only historian who thinks so. The fact that the Holocaust is a matter, an item, for the whole humanity, I most certainly agree with that notion. I also agree with the fact that it was basically a European phenomenon. And I also agree with the fact that the center of Judaism no longer is Europe and cannot be because we don't have the people, we don't have the resources. it has shifted to two places, very different views on Judaism. One is the United States, and the other one is Israel. And neither has very much understanding for European Jews. So we are very much on our own. I also agree that we have to be very much aware of the threats around us. But on the other hand, we can't live in a constant feeling of fear. That's very negative. It's very devastating. The very basis of Judaism is the upholding, the maintaining, retaining of hope for a better world. And I firmly believe that we should be part and parcel in doing something to better the world, and there I can't agree more with you.
Gospođa Belinki, čekaj, please, you have your only once discussion. Belinki, my friend, believe, and this is true, that Jewish population was never...
Horvats.
Gospođa Belinki, aj to ja isto znam, jer se s time bavim, Židovi nikad nisu bili priznati kao nacija. Nacija u Evropi, jer je predispozicija, i to je zapravo još od Napoleona, Napoleon je to rekao, individualna prava Židovima da, ali kolektivna prava kao nacija ne. I to je ostalo. Zato jer mi nismo imali državu i nismo imali svoj jezik, što je predispozicija da bi bilo neko priznat za naciju. Međutim, danas se situacija promijenila, jer mi imamo Izrael. I ako može biti prijetnje, mi zapravo smo stalno pod nekim pritiskom, ali ne smijemo dozvoliti da nas prevlada strah, mi moramo normalno živjeti i mi imamo uvijek izlaz u Izrael, koja je naša država, i što recimo za vrijeme holokausta nije bilo i zato se on mogao dogoditi u takvim razmjerima. To bi bio sukus toga. Ja bi još samo, da vidim koliko je, imam još malo, ko je još mene htio? E, Ana. Are you tired?
No, no, no. Okay.
Please.
Okay, I'll speak in English. Well, I would like maybe to try to put the two topics together, anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. First of all, I think that negative things like xenophobia and anti-Semitism on the one side, and positive things like intercultural dialogue, tolerance and democracy on the other side, we can both things see as on a governmental level and non-governmental, which means down to earth. And I think that both things are equally important. Not the same, but equally important, and both should be monitored. And I would like here to say that Croatia does not have one body for monitoring anti-Semitism, which I think is wrong. And what Dr. Lang suggested that to Sanja that we should do, etc., I think that we can do it only if... Croatian Jews would organize one body that will monitor it and make decisions on how to approach it. And as Carmela said, old ways die hard. I think that anti-Semitism very often is a habit because a lot of xenophobia exists because immigrants are not able to adapt. Jews are adapted. Still there is anti-Semitism. If I may even say out of habit, and it comes in package with all other xenophobic appearances. Speaking of things that may provoke anti-Semitism, this is now when I'm adding Holocaust. We all know that there are, in many countries, first of all, there is denial of Holocaust, but also there people talk about Holocaust industry and Holocaust it's been commercialized. And I think that in Croatia it's very much so that it very often becomes a provocation, provokes anti-Semitism. Also, Simon Wiesenthal Center and Mr. Efraim Zurov, whenever he comes, he keeps repeatedly asking Croatia to apologize, he and the rest of the world, and we as Jews keep saying that what happened here during the war. So there is this emphasis on Holocaust that very often provokes reactions from simple people. And I'm not speaking of government, but of simple people. And so the education in Holocaust, mention of Holocaust, showing films about Holocaust, what I would like to ask here is what also Jews ask themselves, but non-Jews even more so, is there never enough talking about Holocaust? Is there never enough of education about Holocaust? Or is there too much of it? And I think that finding the balance is what we need, not least because it can provoke anti-Semitism. And I will hear just...
Put a question.
So the question is, how do we perceive? Do we have too much or never enough of Holocaust, of mentioning Holocaust? And in Croatia specifically, we have Thompson, we have Croatian football fans with Nazi saluting. So what do we do about that? Because if you as a Holocaust organization, how do you see it and how do you perceive it?
Ja ću kratko prevesti Anin. Ana smatra da zapravo borbu protiv antisemitizma ima nekoliko nivoa. Jedno je državni nivo, jedno je da mi nemamo zapravo tijela ovdje, jednoga tijela koje se formalno bori protiv antisemitizma, da mi imamo provokacije, da zapravo svako veće traženje isprike za Holokaust, kao što je Wiesenthal centar Zurov ili bilo konačno što nije Ana spomenula, pitanje povratka imovine, pitanje zaštite nas, svako provocira jednu vrstu antisemitizma i šta da mi radimo? A mi bi trebali stvarno educirati mlade, trebamo ne samo naše, nego i one koji da pače ostalu populaciju. Ali ako mi previše govorimo o Holokaustu, ako stalno to, da li je to dobro? Šta da radimo? Na koji način da napravimo jedan balans između onoga što nas tišti, što moramo i onoga što očekujemo kao reakciju od društva koje sada sve više ima nekih naznaka kao Thompson, kao Dinamo, kao ne znam neke koje idu u desno i čak imaju fašističke oznake. I postavlja se pitanje što mi kao organizacija, kako mi se trebamo postaviti.
I cannot answer for Croatia because I don't know about your specific situation well enough, and the only ones who can answer that question are you. But I can answer about education of Holocaust in general. And I can give you a very good example, Sweden, which was completely out of the war, balancing in a very skilled way, not always morally perhaps, in a positive way, between the Allied forces and the German Reich. First, seeing that the German Reich was actually winning, in a very skilled way through the Wallenbergs and so on. And then when they saw that the war was more or less lost for Germany, changed in an equally elegant way to being all for the Allied. And the Swedish people received a lot of refugees after the war, among them thousands and thousands of Jews. And there are people here who have taken part of the goodwill of the Swedish government after the war. But on the other hand, it has also left a kind of trauma in the Swedish people that they didn't do enough during the war and stayed a neutral country. And they knew absolutely nothing about the Holocaust after, let's say, the 1960s, the 1970s, because for some very strange reason, history was never taught at schools. They had for a very long time a social democratic government, and for years and years, a minister of education said that she would absolutely prohibit teaching history in schools because she doesn't want the children to be victims of their teachers' own views. Well, I mean, I've never heard anything more stupid than that. Well, it led to so many generations of children and adults not knowing anything about the Holocaust. And suddenly, in the 1990s, the wave changed, and they began a very structured and excellent program of teaching the Holocaust in schools, from primary school to the end of gymnasium, and even as an integral part of all university education. They published books and they published all kinds of material and films and whatnot. And there was a very big conference, global conference, in Stockholm in 2001. Not that it gained much to the effect, but now there is a very strong awareness of the Holocaust and the fact that no nation, or even if the nation officially was neutral as Sweden, stayed outside it and was completely without being part of it. So I would say that you can reach so many people with education, but there will always be a group that cannot be reached with any kind of reasoning, a group which will only react in a very emotional and non-rational way. And that group, you simply, there is no way of reaching that group. At least I don't know of any such way. Perhaps there are psychoanalysts or psychologists and psychiatrists in this group who can give me an answer to that. I know why, but I don't know how. And I don't think that anybody else does. But we have to keep up the strong hope that with education we can enwiden and increase the groups to be which we can reach. Without education, we most certainly cannot reach many. I don't know if you can ever have enough education of any event in history, and definitely not about the Holocaust. So I think I answered both Anna and many others here.
Gospođa Belinki je navela ovde jedan primjer švedskog društva. I zapravo Švedske koja je bila za vreme rata neutralna, malo je igrala na jednu stranu, kad se okrenula ratna sreća malo na drugu. I onda posle rata, makar je bilo i puno imigranata, među njima i Židova, dio koji su dobili gostoprimstvo i razumijevanje, jednostavno u školskom sistemu su isključili povijest, ne samo o Holokaustu, kompletnu povijest, jer da šta će opterećivati, šta će učitelji davati svoje mišljenje i tako dalje. I to je tako da cijela generacija je odrasla bez poznavanja povijesti i naravno uloge Švedske. Međutim, to se je promijenilo 90. godina. Ja sam bila na toj konferenciji u Stockholmu, to je bila jedna internacionalna konferencija o Holokaustu i fantastične, tu su bili predsjednici vlada, tu su bili predstavnici, svi su se prali, posipali pepelom kad se tamo bila. I to je još, ta akcija još traje, to je task force akcija koja je osnovana i mi smo isto aplicirali na njihove fondove za učenje. I sada se situacija promijenila. O holokaustu i povijesti se uči od osnovnih škola sve do univerziteta. Oni tiskaju se knjige, drže se konferencija. To nije više pitanje samo Švedske, to je pitanje edukacije u cijeloj Europi. I zapravo smatra se da mi nikad nećemo moći uključiti u edukaciju sve. Uvijek će postojati neke grupe koje su toliko zadojene, toliko ekskluzivne, do kojih naša nastojanja da nešto saznaju ne može doći. Ali to nas ne treba smetati. Mi moramo educirati ljude što više, moramo uvesti u škole, moramo nastojati, organizirati i sve zapravo ovisi o nama. I think we have one question more, please. Who is
a gentleman? There's a
gentleman. Holokaustu i antisemitizmu je bilo puno govora i puno znamo o tome. Ja ću govoriti o jednom problemu koji nije dotaknut. Što se tiče holokausta, što se tiče antisemitizma, toga je uvijek bilo. Bilo je pogroma, mi imamo sefarde koji su iz Španije, Španjolske protjerani. Čim su nekakve krize, negdje židovi obično stradaju. Nema tu ništa novog. Za vrijeme nacizma, zna se, ima ta, znamo koliko je žrtava. 6 milijuna, to se stalno ponavlja, znamo da je to 6 milijuna, znamo da je, ne znam, 1,5 milijuna djece, da je ubijeno. Jučer smo bili u Jasenovcu, 19.000 djece i ne znam koliko ovih, koliko onih. To sve znamo. Židovi su desetkovani u Europi. Ima nas vrlo malo, naročito ovim malim zemljama kao što je naša zemlja, potpuno desetkovani, 15% je ostalo. E sad, ono što se događa u ovim našim malim zemljama, ja ne znam sve detalje, to je raskol među samim Židovima. Pa zar Židovima nije dovoljna pouka bila holokost, ubijanje od strane nacista, fašista? Oni su još sad, ono što je ostalo, međusobni raskol, međusobna trvenja preko javnih glasila, sudskim tužbama međusobno. To čujem u Mađarskoj, to čujem u Češkoj, a da ne govorim i kod nas. Šta se tu događalo, kažu da je u Izraelu. Pa tu je jedan, to je jedan osnovni problem. Antisemitizma će uvijek biti. Ja kad sam bio dijete, dogodilo mi se da neko s kim ja tamo idem u isti razred u osnovnoj školi mi viče žibek, žibek, židov, židov. Čuo je doma, dakle, to nije ništa novo. I antisemitizma će vjerojatno uvijek biti, jer će se tražiti dežurni krivac i otkad su proglasili da su ga židovi razapeli, od onda uvijek teraju kera protiv židova. Dakle, antisemitizma. Ovo je to je moje osnovno pitanje i problem. Ta trvenja nas preživjelih. Meni jedan znanac rekao, Hitler je pogrešio što ih nije sve potuko kad se međusobno kolju i ubijaju. To je moj problem.
I will translate now to Carmela. Otto is one of the person almost only one now who survived Auschwitz. He is very active here, and he said that we are used on antisemitism. Antisemitism from his childhood till now is still, and we are used to live with antisemitism, and that antisemitism, according to his opinion, is not such a problem. He sees problem that we Jews, we survivors, tiny community, not only in Croatia, also in another country, don't have unity. We are struggling each another we are separate, we are making several communities, we accuse one another, and this is in our media, and in fact this is a very good reason for new anti-Semitism. And he says one person who says that Hitler was right, and why he didn't kill all Jews, because the Jews don't need to exist, because they fight each another. What do you think about this? I think quite right. New. You mentioned the Jews has unity always where there is where it is under pressure and in danger. What do you think now?
I think that Otto is quite right. I couldn't agree more with you. I think that the only way that we can survive as a living unity in Europe is that we stick together. We forget all about personal power and COVID and all kinds of internal small skirmishes that actually don't mean anything, but are based on purely personal antagonisms. We cannot afford that anymore. We have to be united. It doesn't mean that we all have to think alike, but we have to stick together, because there are too few of us to have the luxury of being separated from each other. And if ever there is a need for unity, it is now, when the whole world seems to be falling apart around us. We Jews should now unite and forget about our small internal differences, which are very devastating to the whole Jewish cause, and definitely on personal levels will only lead to more difficulties. And that is not only, it seems, a Croatian problem, but that's a common problem among human beings in general. But if we want to specially target the Jews, this has, and unfortunately still is, a major Jewish problem. We don't have churches, and we are not officially separated in different fractions, but in fact those fractions exist. And I'm not saying that they should all be eliminated, but I'm saying that they should be able to cooperate and work together and forget about personal differences. This is my mission, and this is also my message to you. Thank you, Otto, for bringing it up.
Ja ću sada reći odgovor, koliko mogu. Uglavnom, gospođa Bilinki pozdravlja Ota i smatra da je to jedan, da je konačno rekao jedan veliki problem koji postoji ne samo u Hrvatskoj nego i drugdje, da Židovi zapravo nemaju frakcija, mi nemamo jednu strukturu recimo kao druge religije, nemamo službenih frakcija, ali frakcije postoje. I ako je ikada bilo potrebno da se ujedinimo, ako je ikada bilo potrebno da zaboravimo naše male lične probleme i želje, je to sada. Mi sada, koliko nas ima u Europi, koliko nas ima u bilo kojoj zemlji, moramo držati zajedno. To je naša zadaća ako želimo opstati. I to je poruka i gospođe Belinki. Ja mislim ja da nemamo više mnogo, imali neko specijalno pitanje, ako nema ja bih vam dala neke obavijesti. Ja prvo zahvaljujem gospođi Belinki koju ja znam 20 godina, I think so. 20 years we are friends, yes?
Yeah, at
least. Yes. Da sam ja nju pozvala upravo zato da se odmaknemo od naših malih ovdje problema koje smo svakodnevno ovde izloženi, da vidimo malo šta se događa i da čujemo nekoga koji je 40 godina u novinarstvu i u znanosti, koji ima pregled nad svim. I ja se zahvaljujem. Thank you so much for being here and give us this lesson.
Dear friends, I am very humble that you asked me to come to you, and I am very grateful that I have been able to make friends among you and to get so much new knowledge that I didn't have. And please live until 120.
Hvala lepa. Gospođa Belinki se isto jako zahvaljuje. Našla je nove prijatelje, dobila je čak i nova saznanja i veoma je zadovoljna da je ovdje. Ja bi još iskoristila da vas upozorim na naš program. Mi sada imamo u jedan sat ručak. Imamo ručak zapravo odvojeno. Oni koji su predstavnici žena, ja sam pozvala ovdje ženske sekcije sa našom dragom gošćom iz Engleske, predsjednicom Evropske, da gore na drugom katu imamo lepu učionu, da se malo družimo i da tamo će biti serviran ručak za njih i onda se ide u dom Lavoslav Švarc. Autobus će biti u 2 sata i 15 minuta pred općinom. Imamo, nažalost, samo 20 mjesta, ali ako neko želi ići, mi ćemo organizirati još i taksije. Nismo mogli dobiti autobus, negdje se nekaj događa velikoga. Onda poslije, znači, u vrijeme dok je ovaj ženski lobby, da tako kažem, mi imamo jako važan sastanak našeg izvršnog odbora ove organizacije, gdje ćemo u vijećnici vijećati dok ostanemo živi i vama ćemo to prezentirati, naše zaključke, to će biti deklaracija i to imamo u 16:30. Jesu zaključke. U međuvremenu, evo, jedni će ići u dom, mi ćemo se sjedničiti, imate priliku da vidite galeriju, možete ići u naš dječji vrtić u tom vremenu, razgledati slike i malo se odmoriti od ovog silnog pripovedanja. Ja vam želim dobru zabavu i dobar tek.
Thank you.